Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Sickos. It's Robert.
Well, good morning, Robert. Here we go. Round two already. And it's up and running. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Looks like right now winds are kind of picking up a little bit out of the north-northeast. Offshore the most. The buoy out there showing 18 to 20. Eagle Point's about 8 to 11. That's not too bad. Morgan's Point's not available all of a sudden. I don't know what's up with that. But I guess their site went down since the 4 o'clock hour. Go figure. Looks like 14 steady at the North Jetty. And as you get inland, it's a little calmer. Most winds right along the coast. There's quite a bit down in the Port O'Connor area. It's 22. Freeport's about 14 there at the Surfside Jetty. About 18 to 20 offshore or so. But here comes our northerly flow. It's going to get a little cool tonight, but things should change. We'll get a warming trend during the week and sunny skies. Got to have that sunshine. I really like that. Makes it a lot better when it's cooler. Can warm up somewhat. But anyway, looks like through the week, not too awfully bad. Tomorrow morning will be our coolest morning. Well, really, actually, Tuesday morning. Be 43 in Houston. Be around 50 on the coast. But high of 68 tomorrow, 73 Tuesday, 76 Wednesday, 77 Thursday, 79 Friday. And then we have another front coming next weekend, so it's not much of one. It's not going to change the temperatures, mainly a wind switch north at 10 to 20, then it'll be going southwest on Sunday, and then another front on Monday with a little bit of a temperature change, not too awfully bad. But it's that time of year. It's what it does. We start getting these fronts two and three times a week. All right. Let's go down to G-Town. Let's check in with Plog this morning. Little Rat, what's happening, bud?
Yo, man, what's up, buddy?
How'd you do yesterday, man? Did you have your wonderful day on the bay?
Man, I'm going to tell you, dude, yesterday, it was cloudy, it was cold, and it was raining. Other than that, it was good.
Nah,
it was nice, man. It was actually a good fishing day. But it was cold, dude. We were coming in. I had Mark and Clint. Mark's on Bottle-Log. Randy, pretty good dude. And I guess we got in about, 2:30.
Yeah.
And I looked at Mark and said, dude, I'm telling you, I don't think it ever busted 60 down here. And I don't think
it never did. It just stayed, that bone-chilling, damp cold. You weren't dressed right yesterday. You'd had a miserable day.
Nah, I had some stuff because I was like, man, that high grade.
Well, I know you, man. You're Captain Layer It On, baby. You're like I am.
Oh,
I layer it on and peel it off as the day goes, and there wasn't a lot of peeling off yesterday.
No, there was no peeling off. There might be putting some back on. But, and then about you know, they said that rain was going to come. But it rained, but it wasn't. It got kind of hard, but it didn't last very long. And then the wind come with it, but it never got stupid. It might have got 12, 13 or whatever.
Right.
But it was the same, Mickey. I just knew because my water temperature was, I had anywhere from 58.9 to 60
right
in there.
Uh-huh.
And you put your hand in the water, and I told Glenn, I'm just telling you, that water is warmer than my hand is right now. So I know for sure, but not a lot changed, Mickey. Same. Nothing really moved. Everything's still shallow.
Yeah.
And it was just fishing, but it was good. I mean, hey, it ain't roll out there and catch you no 40 trout. It's not. And I'm disappointed because, you know, what is it, Thanksgiving on a nice day? Nice fishing day. It wasn't no great day. It wasn't, I tell Marcus, ain't no beach day, dude. But as far as fishing, a good fishing day. And you ought to roll out there, half cocked, not even know your name, catch 40 trout. But it was good fishing. You know, we caught nice trout, and then we kind of were struggling, man. We were for about 2 hours right there, right in the middle of the day. When that tide was really, it really smoking. These are funky tides, dude. They fog like all day.
Well, you had that one yesterday, you know.
It worn out going, but sometime around noon, 1 o'clock, it catches a gear. And it starts rolling, man. I'm like, man, it's the same thing been happening. And I was fixing to go. I said, man, let's go look at one little thing. And I got on top of a little old ridge, 2.5 foot. I mean, I'm looking at the bottom. You know, water's air clear. And I lost the fish as soon as I stopped on a little John. I mean, it hit the water. I made about 2 cranks. So there he is. We got him. Well, he comes off. I said, well, we ain't got nothing. We ain't catching him. So Mark puts on a crazy croaker. I don't see nothing. I'm like, nah, okay, whatever. I didn't say nothing. Hey, about his fifth cast, thunk, he's got one. And I said, well, look at that. Nice trout, you know, about 20-inch fish. And he don't catch nothing else. And then Glenn throws out there. He said, I just had a bite. And I said, yeah, I had a bite too. He reels in, throws back out, boom, he catches one. And I put a lily on about my second cast. Thunk, I caught one. And Mark throws back out there a little while later, caught another one. So if we wanted to go back around, they kind of fired up, but we just figured out how to catch them. But I think I just drifted into where they're at. I drifted so far because I drifted with the wind and the currents. So it wouldn't take very long to go nowhere. But we didn't go back around. It was already raining, so we left. But, yeah, it was good fishing, but not a lot changed. It was, you know, the water temperature-wise.
No, I think where our fish are and the way things are right now, it's where it's going to be all winter long. Same old thing.
Well, unless it gets a little colder, unless that water got, you drop another 10 degrees and, you know, or 9 degrees, 51, 52, and we'll see if they move around somewhere.
Right.
You know, see if they get off them humps and stuff. Maybe they get offshore a little bit. But it was good. Water's air clear. It was a good fishing day. Nobody fishing. I mean, there were some boats, but not nobody.
Yeah, the hammer said matter down there on his end, there was, man, there was like 20 trailers in the parking lot or something.
Is that a lot?
Yeah, for him. For down there.
Really?
Yeah, the way he talked, yeah.
They must be duck hunting or something, bro, because there ain't that many people fishing. I mean, there's some. Don't get me wrong, but there's, you know, it was Saturday, Thanksgiving weekend. Now, granted, the weather wasn't all that great. Well, we never had any kind of boat problem or nothing.
No, there should be.
On the fish or anything.
You think there'd be boats everywhere, you know, Thanksgiving weekend on Saturday.
Bro, I come through the house yesterday coming home, and I looked at Mark, and I said, man, it's like a desert, dude. I saw like maybe 2 boats, and they weren't real fishing boats. They were like they just tied up fishing on bottom or something on the way home yesterday.
Unreal.
But there was a lot of people hunting yesterday, and they were lighting them off down there while I was fishing.
Yeah, they heard some volleying going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were laughing. I said, man, they're shooting at them. I don't know if they're hitting them, but they're shooting at them. And not many airboats down there. A lot of mud boats down there where I'm fishing. This is all mud boat land.
Uh-huh.
But I'm seeing some ducks, a few redheads, bluebills, saw some pintails, a lot of geese. I've seen more geese this year, you know, just fishing.
Yeah.
I'm fishing kind of close to some refuges and stuff. And I've seen more geese this year than I've seen, Mickey, and I couldn't tell you when, especially in November.
Right.
Especially for November. So I think I need to start playing around with some bait. Oh yeah, we got. I told Mark we were fishing walleye hunt. I said, man, you got a mirror handy? And I want him to give me one, so I have to dig in my box. He said, yeah, I got an SHP right here. You want it? I said, yeah. He said, well, let me just throw it. Okay, you throw it. Man, about the same cat. I said, I'm telling you, man, this water's very clear. They'll touch it. So we were catching a lot of fish right there, a lot of little ones, but we were catching fish. Not his fourth cast. Boom, there he is. I said, I told you, they eat one right here, man.
That's encouraging.
Now I'm sitting on some fish that you may have to play with some baits a little bit because, you know, they're eating some fish. Oh, and I lost a real nice trout on a Lele, too, about three casts after that. I mean, a good fish, maybe a full-pounder.
Right.
He come off right there at the boat. So I might have to start playing with some baits a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I love it when they go to hitting Lele's and Corky's and mirror lures. That's good stuff.
Yeah,
that's so fun.
Tired of throwing tails out there. Well, I hate looking at the same thing flat on into my line all day long. I get tired of that. But you know but they wouldn't touch it because I'd play around. But now they're biting them. I looked at Mom with that crazy croaker, and I'm not a crazy croaker fan. People that fish with them, they catch them. I don't like them.
Hey, I remember that one year in the back of Trinity Bay. If you didn't have one of them on, you were in trouble, man. I remember I took David Brown and his son and Price Daniel, and, man, I don't know how many 5 and 6 pounders we caught on crazy croakers. You know, the fast sink ones?
Yeah, the fast sink ones. And it was shallow, but Mark, he knows how to fish. You know, he keeps it up.
Right.
He's probably working it right underneath the top. And, I mean, he come up, piled on it, and I said, looky there, man. I'm glad I didn't say don't put it on. I just didn't.
Well, that's basically very similar to a Corky Devil, you know. Except it's got the forked tail.
Yeah, same deal. Same deal. But, yeah, it was good fishing. You got to, like I was telling Glenn, I said, look, it ain't rock 'em, sock 'em, but it's good fishing. It's just, he said, man, I like this. It's just fishing, you know, we're just fishing. You do catch a nice trout, you know, they're good and they're fish worth fishing for. I mean, if you're doing all this to catch 15 and a half inch trout, it's kind of tough, but you know, you get something nice, that's good.
Sure. I'm with you.
I tell you what, brother, it wasn't for no faint of heart. I told him, I said, man, I'm cold. My hands didn't want to work yesterday. Yeah, that was the first day that I, you know, it was like, you know, this is like wintertime fishing. I mean, it's
where you
got
to get acclimated to it.
For sure. For sure. I'm going to go run in it this morning. I can get real acclimated to it.
Oh, yeah.
Sucker. But it didn't drop last night. I think it's the same temperature it was when I came in yesterday.
Yeah.
Like 58.
Yeah.
This morning.
Yeah, down on your end. It's a little cooler up here on the high ground, but you're about 58 down there this morning.
But the big rain deal, may have happened in Houston, but it didn't happen down here. I mean, it rained, but
it was just that old drizzly, slimy, nasty weather, you know.
Yeah. That's your old suicide weather. We got East Coast weather up there. Or not East Coast. What is that up there in Seattle?
Yeah, pull out a dull knife and just cut your throat, man.
Oh, I wouldn't live out there if you paid me.
No, that's that's miserable living there, that kind of weather.
But I was looking at the week. Looked like we got a pretty good week. Now, one front that I saw that one you're talking about, and I'm looking at buoy weather is what I was looking at.
Yeah.
And I saw some red flags. I don't know if it was Saturday night or Sunday morning.
Yeah, next weekend.
Yeah. Like 23 to 30 knots. But then it's like the rest of them. You look at that afternoon and then it fades. You know, it hits real hard and fades.
Yeah, it's like it's going to blow itself out real quick.
Mm-hmm. That's what buoy weather had anyway. And they're pretty good, but you got to keep, you know, who knows what's going to happen 7 days. I don't know what's going to happen in 7 minutes.
No, that's
much less than
you live from day to day this time of year, man. It's just
ain't that the truth.
What we do. Hey, hang on. Let me take this quick break. I want to come back and talk to you a little bit about, you know, the equipment you're throwing these days. Get a little update on, see what you're chunking. I'll be right back to you, James.
All the boats I missed, all the hell I've called, all the lips I've kissed, all the love.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 518 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Captain James' vlog. All right, James, we're back, man.
Man, that's a little Cody Johnson. That's good music.
That yeah, that's a good one there. All the hell I've caused. Really?
Hey, I looked at that. There's a front Thursday yellow flag. Not crazy, but Monday, 12-6, they got the Rip Snorter coming. So they got it at month, yeah, whatever 12-6 is.
Man, that might be a South Texas road trip for me, buddy.
For sure, Mick, 12-6, and this is a snorter. It's 24 to 34 knots.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah, that's a real one right there.
Go get that tallest stand Blaine's got back there in the back of that main ranch. I call it.
Hopefully it'll blow over on you.
It's called High East. Yeah, I can just get up that blown over and check on out, man.
Check on
just
out.
Just get it over with in one hunt.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
So what was you going to ask me about?
Yeah, what rod are you throwing now that Waterloo makes? What have you been chunking this year?
You know, Mickey, I fish, I don't jig fish much no more. My wrist hurt, and I know
you were hung up on that slam mag for a long time.
Well, I'm still fishing. My boat rod is my slam mag.
Yeah.
But it's a good crankbait rod, good swim bait rod. You know, mm-hmm. He touches it, you get him. And then my wading rod and throwing, you know, little twitch baits, Lee's hot rods, mirror dimes, and then soft dimes, little nasty baits, is I'll use that carbon mag, a little bit lighter tip.
Right.
Probably closer to what you're throwing all the time, probably real close to that.
Yeah.
And so well, I know
he built me one, Waterloo. It's kind of a custom made. It's not what he sells, but he built one years ago when I was fishing for him that was like a 6. Man, it might have been a 6.8 with a real live tip on it and then you know, a good fast taper down to pretty good meat in the bottom end of it. And that was a really good rod for, you know, not having to change out, just fishing boat or wade fishing and throwing a variety of baits, you know, all the way up to big topwaters and stuff. Great rod.
The carbon still mag may be the best all around rod. But when it's windy, you know, and you're fishing out of a boat, that slam mag, I mean, I'm a little bit quicker on them, you know, a little bit faster.
Yeah. Right.
And it's a good, if you're going to throw the big giant bone super smooth, it'd be a good rod for that, you know, where the carbon mag may be a little bit light.
Right.
But I keep them too, and I fish with that little, you know, I got all kind of reels that Mike's handy, but that little white, that the new little Gen 2, not the pearl white, but the stark white Gen 2, that little
13. Yeah, the C2.
Yeah, I fish with that one.
Yeah, that's, I've been using them a lot this year. That's pretty much a go-to, real dependable, hang-in-there kind of reel, you know.
Yeah, and I got a freshie in the box in case one goes bad. You know, cause I always got to have
a fresh one, man. Got to have a fresh backup.
Got to have one laying in the weeds, buddy, because I ain't Mr. Take anything apart, clean it out. I'll wipe it down. I don't ever let my, you know, I don't spray my reel. I don't let them get wet, wade, and I just, you know, just me and you, you don't get your reel wet. I don't put it in the side of the rod holder in the boat. And then every day I get in from fishing, I grab whatever water that somebody left in my boat, and I just pour a pile of water over the top of it and put a reel cover back on it.
Yeah.
And I've been religious about that the last year and a half.
It makes a difference.
It does, Mickey. I mean, I keep them working a lot longer.
I've been practicing the same thing, putting those covers on them, because you know when I'm pulling down the road, you know I put them in the side holders, and I always put the cover on them because all that grime and dirt that gets on the floor, you know a lot of times you don't see it, but it's grit, and that's what messes these reels up, man. You're pulling down the highway, that all blows into your reels.
Yeah,
it's like throwing them in the back of a dirty truck bed, you know.
Yeah, because if I'm traveling, you know, I put all my stuff, you know, in the truck with me. Yeah. But Joey told me, he said, look, P, where you live right there, you know, because I'm all open. You know me, I'll never close the garage door. My boat, you know, they all sit outside.
That's pure salt air, man.
That's exactly what he said. So I started doing this cover deal and this water deal about a year and a half ago. And, yeah, hey, they all still break on me eventually because we go every day. But all in all, it works a lot better. And I tell my guys, I said, man, I'll see them at the marina. Man, let me borrow that hose while I'm cleaning fish. And they sprayed him real. I said, dude, don't spray
don't
him,
do
man.
That. You spray all the foreign matter right inside that reel. Just spray it all
right
in there.
Right inside of them. And it's bad enough just the salt water on the, you know, on the line that you're bringing in is getting off in there.
Yeah, it'll work its way in through the spool edge. But if you'll notice, these newer reels, the way they're machined, the cages both on the reel handle side and the bearing side, they're machined a lot tighter and tapered to where a lot of that won't work off your spool, that wet stuff, and get inside the reel. That's pretty
right.
Pretty innovative, you know.
Yeah, in the old days, man, all that, you know, it was all kind of tolerances in there.
Oh,
full of salt water up in there.
I'm telling you.
And I get, you know, I don't fish with braid, but it looks like to me the braid will carry more water on it and get more.
It does. Braid will definitely do more damage to your reels than mono will.
I hate braiding line. I watch my guys with that braiding line. I just laugh. I said, man, I can't wait to get to the store when I get in and buy me some so I can backlash, pop off, and untwist off the end of my rod all day long.
You know, we went, you know, it has its application. I think it's probably the best thing that we've gone back to. I mean, think about it. When we were kids, we were throwing that basically braided line back then. Remember that old, you know, different colored line?
Yeah, it was Dacron, you know, line. That's all it was.
Yeah, Dacron line, and it has its applications and purposes, but I think that's why Hillman's always belly aching about his reels messing up, because he throws braid, and a lot of that water gets inside those cages from, you know, from the braid itself. And
he was trying to fish the other day and had one broke down.
Yeah,
I know Blaine, and I understand the redfish tournament guys. I get all that, because you know, you don't want to, you know, you're sitting there trying to weed a keeper red out of bulls. You can't be jacking around with 10-pound test line like we're using.
Right.
But for trout applications, what we do, and hey, so we catch an occasional big red, have a good time with it. That big old red that Tom caught with me, not the drum, but the red. Hey, caught on an 8-pound test, man. You know, we ain't no tournament, but it's just not friendly for people that don't fish all. Even if you're a good fisherman, but you don't fish every day, you're not very good with braid. You're just not. Too many problems.
True.
And
you
got
to know how to cast it. The biggest problem people have, especially when they're fishing with a guide, they'll see you turn loose a one and throw it out there a country mile, and they expect to do the same thing, and they'll load that reel up. I mean, they'll load up and try to throw a country mile with that braid, and if you don't have a heavy, heavy bait on there, you're not going to do it. It's going to get out there and stop, or it's going to overwind. It just creates problems.
Oh, they just pop off. No, you throw a country mile because you throw your jig head off and it lands about 2 miles.
Well, that's true. I've seen that happen before, too.
He said, man, where'd it go? I said, you ain't never going to find it.
And a lot of them don't spool those reels properly. They don't use the mono backing, and they don't put it on right. They put it on too loose, and, you know.
I had a guy that was saying just what you said. He was having some problems, so we were pulling around. I said, man, give me that rod. And I get that rod, and I just put it out behind the boat and just let it go, and I pulled it a little ways, and then I come back really tight on the spool. I said, I had this luxury because I live right by the water.
Yeah.
We should have done this at the dock, put it back on there tight, put a little water on it.
Right.
And then he was pretty good the rest of the day. But like, for instance, like Brian and Craig Keefer, they've been fishing with us for years. They're really good with braided line. I mean, really good.
Yeah.
It's the guys that fish all the time that are really good with it. If you're a fisherman and you can still cast, but you don't go all the time, you're not no good with it. It doesn't help you. I ain't never seen it make anybody a better fisherman.
No, it has its purposes. I'll tell you something that really works good, and a lot of people probably don't know this, but there's a product called Braid Aid. It comes in a pump spray bottle. And I had some guys in my boat one day, and, man, we just had these spooled up with new line and, you know, new braid and all that. And I said, well, I've got your reels adjusted as good as it can be, and I'm throwing it pretty good. But they were having a little trouble with it, and I started, I said, about every 10, 12 cast, spray some of this on your spool. And they started using that, and they never had a mishap the rest of the day. Called
well, see,
Braid.
You told me something. Where you get it at?
Will Kirkpatrick gave me a couple of bottles of it years ago, and I never did use it much. I had it under the seat of my boat, and I tried it on those guys, and I said, look at here. This stuff works.
Well, that would save me some misery because, you know, you're only as good as your guys. I mean, if you're on
yeah,
fish,
and that's the bad thing about Braid is trying to throw real light jig heads like 16th ounce and 8th ounce. If you try to throw it hard, you're going to have trouble all day long. You just got to. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, I've made a million casts in my life, so I don't know.
To me, it's more of a, you know, it's more of a lob cast because you're loading it up so quick and it's so fast because there's no scratch, you know. But it's like, you know, me rolling up there by Luke List and trying to hit like him, I can't even get close to it, you know. You just can't do it. But that's a problem I see. And I hate it for them guys because I said, look, man, the only reason I catch more stuff is I'm fishing more. It's pretty simple. More cash.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you got problems and you're down all the time, you're making a lot less cash, half the cash to everybody else, and you're not going to get the bites.
100%.
Cover more water, you catch more fish, baby.
Yeah, and then Dana had this big place. Man, you got to use braid on spinning rods. Well, I tried it one time. I took it all off and went back to 10-pound, whatever I had on there. I think Suffix. And I have a lot less trouble, a lot less trouble. Mm-hmm. Then I looked at Dana's old spinning rod the other day, and he done took all that stuff off.
Yep.
So.
OT Knack sent me a photo of Braid Aid.
Really? Hey, send me that.
Bass Professor, Braid Aid Land Conditioner. It's up to $12.49 a bottle now. Of course, hey,
that's okay.
To eliminate your troubles, you'd pay $30 a bottle for it. You know, get your
wouldn't
fishing
even
day
back
in.
Up. But I want to get some for me so I can get, you know, like I say, you're only as good as your guys. So if there are problems, if that stuff works, I'm going to get some. Yeah, send me that. I'll buy some. See what happens. So,
well, I'm texting it to you right now. I just forwarded it from Tiki Mike.
Cool.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm gonna tiki on out of here, see if I can get a hold of Mood Neck and get me a deer report in South Texas. But, hey, if somebody wants to call you about fishing, James, give them a number, bud.
All right, buddy, 409-771-7306. Have a good day, man.
We're going to do it. James, take care, bud. All right. See you.
All right.
Deer Rodeo. I'd like to say that I took the reins and rode away. No regrets, no left unsaids, just turn the page. Oh, but you know better, babe. Between the almost atoms and broken bones, the dream of a bubble I'll never put on.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 5:36 here in the Bayou City. It's Sunday morning. Weather should be better today. We're hoping for it anyway. Looking forward to some sunshine, blue skies. Dry things out a little bit. But now getting back to what James and I were talking about, you know, it's just, man, when fishing's the way it is right now, and, you know, you got to really be in tune with things. And every cast counts. I mean, you know, back in the day, it really didn't matter that much. There was just so many fish. You knew when your lure hit the water, you were going to get bit. And these days, you got to grind around, and these fish aren't in these big mega schools like we've been accustomed to all these years. And you just got pods of fish, and you got to make accurate cast and make plenty of them. And when you're down half the time with bad gear, you know, bad line or your reel's not adjusted right, it can cost you several fish a day, you know, if you're really looking to bang on them. You know me, I just like getting bit and catching a few fish and just soaking it all up, being out there. I'm just, You know, the older I get, believe me, I've caught a lot of fish in my day, and it isn't as important to me anymore as it used to be. I mean, I still love it. I wish the fish were bigger. That's kind of what I'm in tune with. I like catching big trout and don't have to catch a lot of them. But if they're real big, you don't need to. It makes your day fishing for trophy fish like that. It's really, really exciting to me. But, you know, these reels these days, I mean, they're made so good and they're machined so precise, and adjustment is everything. Once you get one adjusted, it just it performs like it was designed to do. And you know, I think the biggest mistake people make when they spool their reel up, now, like if you're going with braid, you got to use the mono back, and that's very important. But I would recommend you've got to get the right amount of line on it. Most guys I see show up to fish with me, they either don't have enough line on their reel or they have too much. And the guy that's having a lot of problems with overwinds, backlashing a lot, he's got too much line on his reel. And what I'll do is I'll look at it. What I do is gauge the side of the spool after you fill it as you're filling the reel. I always leave about an eighth inch, you know, from the top of the spool on the side there. Just spool your line up to about an eighth inch or 3/16 of an inch below the top of that spool where it goes into the cage. And that'll give you your proper gear ratio, how the reel's made, and plus it'll enable you to cast a lot better. You know, if you don't have enough line on, you're not going to be able to make long casts. I mean, your gear ratio is going to be off. You're not going to, you know, with too little line, you've got a 5-to-1 reel instead of a 6-to-1 or 7-to-1, and which makes a big difference a lot of times, too, depending on the depth of water and what you're throwing. And, you know, and then to adjust it right, a lot of people, that right knob, that spool knob that's on the handle crank side, everybody wants to play with that. I mean, once you get a new reel and take it out of the box, before you even put line on it, if it's a right-handed reel, just put your left thumb on the spool and take that bearing knob and then turn it counterclockwise towards you until that spool starts wobbling. As soon as it starts to wobble, then turn the knob clockwise away from you and keep moving that spool with your left thumb, and as soon as it quits wobbling, leave it right there. That means the spool's centered perfectly on the reel. And then you can go to your other side and adjust the your brake system. You know, most of the 13 reels that I use, pretty much, they come set on 0 or 1, and that's pretty much the way I use them. I'll use them 1, maybe 1.5 or 2, depending on the reel. If you got a real loose one that you've broken in real good and it turns loose and frees up pretty good, then I'll bump it up to 2, you know, to slow my cast down a little bit. That way, there's nothing more aggravating than when you first cast and your reel's trying to backlash. You got to slow it with your thumb. I want mine adjusted where I don't touch it with that thumb. I just turn her loose, let her rip, let it eat, so to speak. But we're going to open the phone lines up. If you want to call in, you got any questions, you got a good deer story or duck story, fish story, whatever, man, we'd love to hear from you up here. It's real easy. Just call Robert and he'll get you online and I'll get you punched up and we'll talk about it. 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, in the rods people use, that, you know, that's more up to you. I mean, what one guy uses to finesse fish with and throw all the certain lures, different lures with and everything, might not be for you. It just depends on how you cast and what kind of feel you like. And nowadays with these reels, and if you palm the reel properly and hold the rod properly between your ring finger and your middle finger where that trigger comes out on the reel seat, and that gives you better control when you're working your bait. A lot of people try to want to hold that trigger on their index finger. That might be fine for fishing with live bait or something, but with throwing lures, you want that reel balanced perfectly in the center of your hand where it's just second nature. You know, it feels like an extension of your hand and your arm, and it's real comfortable that way. And especially when you fish a lot like we do, you get those permanent calluses built up where that hand, you know, where your hand cradles that reel underneath. That way you can hold your thumb up on top and you got good control of it. And same way when you're fighting a fish, hold it that way. Use it properly. That's how it's designed. So, but anyway, we already have a caller. Let's go ahead and go to him. Let's go to David. David, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, so I was listening to the fishing report this morning and said, you know, you take any fishing stories or duck hunting stories you've got. One of the first fishing stories, well, my very first fishing story that I ever recall was with my grandfather. Man, mm-hmm. He took me to the seawall in Galveston in Texas, and he took me to the 33rd, the pier, the rock groin
right.
That went out in off the seawall.
Uh-huh.
And he was teaching me how to cast into the water, but, you know, on the sides of the rock groin. So whenever he was doing that, he told me to cast straight out into the water. But me being a kid so young, I cast it into the rock, like right on the side. So he's like, oh, nope, bring you back in. So I was reeling it in, and he's like telling me, pick it up so that way you don't get stuck on the rocks. And sure enough, I thought I was stuck. But when I picked up the line, I had a flounder on it. And I did that about two or three more times. And I ended up catching about two more flounder. And one of them, he dropped them between the rocks. And the story was that he got jealous because I was catching them first. And then, that's why one of them got away. They were a little small. But the one, we did keep one just to take it to my mom. But, yeah. Really good fishing story. We're heading to the water right now. Me and my mom, my grandfather passed away some time ago with my grandmother. So hopefully soon we can pick up some coffee and have some good fish, more fishing stories coming to you guys. We love listening to y'all.
Oh, well, I appreciate it, man. Y'all have a great time out there and be safe and hope you catch something.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Have a good day. Thank you. All right. Yep. Fishing stories from back in the day with grandpa and your dad and all that. I remember fishing with all mine. My grandmother, I used to love to go fishing with her. She was something else, man. She had used to sneak us into Forest Park Cemetery when we were little bitty kids and let us catch big old huge bream. We'd catch about 8 or 10 of them, and she'd take them home and fry them for us. She was something else. All right. Let's go to Ray in Highland and see what's up with him this morning. Raceboat Ray, River Rat Ray, you'll answer to anything, won't you?
Boy, you got that. This morning I'm answering to Baylor alumni.
Yeah, Baylor Bear Ray. Man, they they pulled that one out yesterday. Boy, Tech came to play, didn't he?
Boy, I tell you what, that was one field goal away from that thing going to overtime, and that wasn't going to be good. But anyway, you know, I'm listening to you do casting and spooling 101 for the last 10 or 15 minutes, and it just dawns on me that, you know, we're all so smug about fishing that a lot of times we do stuff that we don't even realize we're doing until you
right.
stop to think about it. And about 90% of that backlash problem, if it's dialed in like it should be, is in your swing.
Yep.
And, you know, I get tireder as the day goes on, have to adjust my swing. And picking up that reel and starting twisting on stuff is the worst thing you can do.
Right.
You know, just, and I catch people that I'm fishing with, and I don't fish with many rookies, I can tell you. But they spend a whole day long cranking on that reel and don't do one thing about their presentation at all, their swing. And that's about 99% of the whole deal.
Yeah, I always try to, you know, if I'm really teaching somebody how to throw a bait caster and throw it properly, I tell them, can you throw a baseball? Well, yeah. I say, can you throw a pop fly? Well, yeah. I said, well, it's basically the same way. It's all your release point, you know. Take it back and don't try to kill it. Don't try to just, you know, and just let it go up right above your head at 11:30, 12 o'clock. Just turn it loose and then just put an arc on it and let it fly out there. And then when you get better on your release point, then you can start throwing line drives and things like that with it, you know, to reach your targets and hit certain areas. And the ones that they end up doing good, you know.
My way of explaining that to my people is envision that there's a wire out there that you're throwing it over a high line or a fence or something that's about 25 or 30 feet tall.
Yeah.
Envision yourself throwing it over that. And that keeps them from doing those line drive casts that's going to absolutely wind up in a bird's nest.
And yeah, because it'll hit the water too soon before they put their thumb on it. You know, I've gotten them from just totally novice, but they want to throw a bait caster, in which I highly recommend because you're going to feel more bites. You're just able to do more things with a bait caster than you are a spinning rig.
Well, and of course, you and I both agree with that. And I can't even think of the last time I threw a spinning rig. But there's some people that don't fish a whole lot. They insist on doing that. And you go down to Padre and down that way, the guides, that's all they use.
And, well, that's all they furnish for their customers, yeah.
And, yeah.
Some of them use them too. But, you know, they fish in a lot of wind too, and they throw a lot of bait down there.
Right. Well, it's an act of just getting used to it, and it's always a lesson in progress for sure.
Right.
But anyway, on the fishing scene, if you want to catch some fish right now, your beloved crappie, get yourself up to the Lake Houston Dam right now because it is going on.
You know, I heard that from somebody else the other day, and then when you sent me that text, crappie thon at the dam, I said, well, it's real then. I can believe what Ray tells me.
Well, it is. And, of course, you know, right now the boat traffic is not as bad. And, of course, the bank on both sides is lined up with people, and they're all catching them.
Well, so, that's good.
And there's some fair-sized ones up there. Now, I'm quick to admit that I hadn't been up there fishing for them. I just went up there to look.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was going on. So I didn't see any white bass, and I was a little bit surprised about that, but they're not letting any water through. So that kind of curtails the white bass action for sure.
It does. Makes the crappie fishing better and the white bass fishing slower.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the crappie tend to like that being dead still thing, which is what it is right now. So
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but, you know, that's a good – you know, we don't have a lot of places around here where you can just walk in and fish.
Not many more left, man. I mean, they've taken all the public access away, you know, in our area.
Well, yeah, that Eisenhower Park up there, right there at the base of the dam, is one of the premier spots. And, of course, there's been a lot of people find it, and there's a good many people in there, but that is a good, nice park to go to, and you can walk right down to the river and fish.
Well, hopefully they clean up after themselves and don't litter it up, because that's how they lose these spots, man. The state or, you know, people that public areas, they get tired of all the litter and the trash, and they just shut them down, man.
Yeah, don't get me started on that one. I'm almost as bad as the hammer when it comes to that deal.
Oh, nothing aggravates me anymore to see ice bags floating in the bay and just, you know, there's no sense in that.
Well, especially if you get one wrapped around your lower unit, because if that happens,
it'll burn the water pump.
When you get an audible on when that happens, it's too late.
It is. You're right. Because what it does, it cuts off all that water flow up through the gear case to your engine, and once that, you know, you're running at a high speed, high RPM, and you run that impeller dry to high RPM, hey, them blades are coming apart.
And I guarantee you, if that happens, you better fish around in that motor and find every one of those blades. That take that impeller out of there and lay it on the desk, and don't throw it away until you've put it back together.
Yeah, until you get all the pieces out of there. you know, we've had to take coat hangers and go up in the water jackets of them old Evinrudes back in the day and work that piece of the impeller out of the water jackets, or you'll have real problems. Once it reaches the heads, you can't ever get it to run cool. Hot horns going off, it's a nightmare.
Well, even the ones that we've got now, I had to fish those out of my E-Tech. My original Fick. I'm telling you, if you don't put that thing down on the desk in front of you and find every piece to, like putting a puzzle pack together, you don't have it all, you're wasting time.
You're done, man.
Because it doesn't take, you know, some of those galleries, especially up in the top of the head, are small enough to where just even the smallest piece of that impeller is going to cause you a problem.
Yeah, and one little tiny water jacket, any kind of restriction of flow, it'll make that head on one side or the other get hot, and you're going to pull a horn every time, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's see. Baylor gets Oklahoma State in the Big 12 final up in Jerryville next Saturday, so that'll be interesting to watch.
Can you believe Alabama pulled that game out yesterday? I was flipping around. I didn't have nothing to do yesterday. It was nasty outside, and they were down 10-0 with a couple of minutes left. And they kicked a field goal, then came back and tied it up, and then went into overtime. They ended up winning that 22-20 or whatever it was.
They got absolutely lucky because I tell you what,
Auburn
had covered the whole time.
They beat them everywhere with the scoreboard. Beat them like a drum.
And that was only the last 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I was flipping back and forth, and, of course, I was also watching the Cougars, who absolutely killed
Temple.
UConn.
Oh, yeah, it was Connecticut, yeah.
And I don't have that on my Comcast in the house, so I had to go out to the barn and get on my satellite and watch a little bit of that. And, of course, they're up probably 15 or 16 in the ratings this week with that win, even though it was kind of meaningless. But when they get Cincinnati next week, that's going to be a true test to see what they've got.
True. Yeah, Cincinnati's, aren't they ranked pretty high?
Well, I guess with the Oklahoma loss, I guess they're in the top four.
Yeah, I think they'll be number four now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.